Father, as we open your word today, I just know that there's going to be a blessing because every time I look in your word, God, I get touched, I get blessed. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is living, that it's true, that it's been tested and proven, and that you are alive. Pray that we can just find more deeper ways to love you this week, this month, this year. Thank you that we can pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. It is Memorial Day weekend, like I mentioned, and a verse or a few verses here that I thought we should look at that go right along with Memorial Day. Veterans Day, we celebrate all veterans, people that have gone into battle and have, or even haven't gone into battle, but went into the military and worked with our military, willing to sacrifice their lives for our country. Memorial Day is a day where we commemorate those that actually did sacrifice their lives. And whether you agree with whatever war took place or whatever happened, whatever police action, whatever they were calling it at the time, whether we agree with that or not, somebody laying their life down for you is a pretty huge thing. Jesus was talking with his disciples. It was some of the final words that he's saying to them before he's going to go to the cross. And in John 15, if you wanted to look there, you can find that it's also on the wall. My command is this. So he's talking to them about a number of things. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved. Love each other as I have loved you. Now, Jesus had spent a number of years with his disciples. He'd loved them in many different ways. And he's about to go and love them in a way that is beyond anything we can imagine. He's going to lay his life down, a perfect individual, taking on the sins of everyone else. He didn't do anything to deserve that cross. And he could have easily called 10,000 angels or more, and he could have taken over the Roman government, the Roman armies. He could have done whatever he wanted to stop that act. But he laid his life down for us so that we could live. And he says, I want you to love each other just like I've loved you. That's a pretty steep curve. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Then he turns to his disciples and he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And if you continue reading in John, there's so much depth to learn about, what God did to become a man. He humbled himself. He became human. He dwelt among us. He laid everything aside. He demonstrated humility beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. And we're asked to be humble like he was humble. He demonstrated love in ways that even though I know that it's true, it's hard to believe it's true. Why would someone put themselves in harm for me? Why would someone die for me? This last week, there was another school shooting in Indiana, and a teacher saw what was going on and immediately rushed that child that had the gun and took 3 bullets, and he's in the hospital. He's alive still. He didn't lay his life down, but he was willing to for the students. Are we all there for our friends? Are we ready to take a bullet for them? You know what? They don't pay teachers enough to throw their life on the line.
That's right.
And they do it anyway. He's not the only teacher that has attempted to do things brave and beyond imagination for his students. There's men and women teaching our kids every day. And there's classroom assistants that are teaching kids every day. Whether you have your piece of paper, the certificate, that doesn't make you stronger or better in the kids' eyes. They see adults there that are giving up their lives to train them and to love them. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, learn to love like I've loved. And just watch what I'm going to do over the next couple of weeks here. Do that. And of course, you got Peter. He's always ready to jump up. Oh, I'll do anything. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And Jesus explains to him, you're going to deny me, but it's okay because I'm watching out for you, and you're going to be restored. It's going to work out. How many of us need Jesus to come back and restore us and say, yeah, you've made mistakes. There's been problems in your life, but I can fix that too. I didn't give up on you. I'm coming back to you. Return to me, and I'll return to you. So that's my little spiel for Memorial Day. If you have an opportunity to talk with any families that have lost loved ones, just tell them how much they're loved. Sometimes that ministry of presence and that kind word is everything to some families that don't hear it enough. So, just a thought. So we're going to be preaching from James chapter 5, verse 12 today. That's on page 1848 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow along. James 5, 12 is the text. But before I do that, I want to show you what James's big brother said in a sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is given the Beatitudes, all the blessed are this and that, and you know, he likes peacemakers and people that are humble, and there's a lot of good stuff as you look through that sermon, and one of the sections he starts talking about is oaths. And I had the privilege of worshiping with friends, with Quakers, for a number of years, and these friends these Quakers that I worshiped with, they would not take oaths. If they went into a courtroom and they were asked to swear that they would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, they're like, why would I do that? My whole life is supposed to be truth. If I'm not telling the truth all the time, why would you believe me if I told you I'm telling the truth? Just because I say, cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, doesn't make me any more truthful. And so rather than giving an oath, they'll give an affirmation. They'll just say, yeah, I'll tell the truth. But they're not swearing by anything in heaven or earth. They're not swearing on a Bible. They're not doing a lot of things. Now, you know, I don't know that this necessarily keeps us from swearing on a Bible and raising our right hand and swearing on the Bible in court. I think that's probably still okay. But they took this verse very seriously. These verses that Jesus said and the verse that we're going to talk about that James said. And I guess there's a reason that people want you to swear an oath, right? Your assumption is that they probably lie most of the time. So I need them to tell me the truth this time. You're going to go to a car dealership. And you know what? It's actually in the law that the car salesperson can say anything he wants to you. He can make all kinds of promises. Oh yeah, if that thing breaks down 5 months from now, you come back and see me, I'll take care of it. He can say that. But if it's not in the written contract, it doesn't exist. Those words never happened according to law. In fact, they put in their contract, anything the salesman said is not binding. What? Why are we talking to this man? It's similar in real estate. They're not quite as open with that. In real estate, you're supposed to be everything. Your word is your bond. A realtor, that means something. And most realtors are honest. Okay? In real estate law, a verbal contract could be binding, but it's probably not going to be enforceable. Because if somebody violates the verbal contract, it's real hard to prove. Even if you had a couple witnesses, people hear things differently. All of a sudden, the judge is like, I don't know what to say. But when it's written down and everybody signed it and it's notarized, cross my heart, hope to die kind of thing, you know, we're swearing. We're making an oath. When you file your taxes, you ever notice at the bottom line there where they make you sign your name? You're signing an oath saying that everything that I put in this tax record is true to my knowledge. When we have a president that starts trying to argue what the definition of if is or whatever, or it is, or, you know, back in the day where things happened and we twist words and we rationalize. That's human nature. And so because of that, people were taking oaths. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, there's something about if you take an oath, make sure you keep it. If you swear by God, Don't ignore that. That needs to be true. But I think, you know, sometimes people start just taking oaths and swearing in general conversation because they know that people probably aren't going to believe them otherwise. So no, I really mean it this time. I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on whatever, you know, you start picking something, right? And that's how conversation goes, and that's why this passage and other passages like it are in Scripture. Here's Jesus in his little section. He says, again, you've heard that it was said to people long ago, back in Old Testament days, you know, Leviticus time, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. If you make a vow to God, keep it. Even if it's just a vow between you and God, nobody else heard. But you know. How many of us have made vows to ourselves? I'm not going to eat like that anymore, or I'm not going to do this. We try to declare that we're going to overcome a habit. When we violate that, do we feel good about ourselves? It's like, wow, I can't even keep my own word with myself. I've got problems. And Jesus was aware of all this. So he's saying, yeah, okay, so you've heard that it was said that you're not supposed to take an oath, or when you take an oath, you're supposed to fulfill it. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne. You know, if you're going to swear by heaven, realize that you're swearing by God, because that's his throne. Or by earth, because it's the Lord's footstool. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Or by Jerusalem. And he's speaking with the Jewish crowd at this time, and so some of them would swear by Jerusalem. He said, well, you know, that's the city of the great king. That's the city of God. So heaven is God's, the earth is God's, Jerusalem's God's. You pick it, whatever you choose, guess what? God made it. So however you're swearing, whatever oath you're taking, God's the one that you're having that conversation with, whether you know it or not. Do not swear by your head, okay? Some people would swear by their head, apparently. Well, you cannot make even one hair white or black. We don't even get to decide how we age. Now, of course, we found a way, right? You go to the hairdresser and you can decide what color your hair is going to be. And if it's not growing right, you take Rogaine or something. You find a way to get more. And, you know, we're always trying to cheat nature. And God's still the one in charge. He's still in control. He determines all these things. You know, because my hair might look one way doesn't mean it's that, if I've had to do something different to make it that way. God still knows what it is. That ad from way back, only your hairdresser knows for sure? Not true. God knows too. Do not swear by your head. You cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Here's Jesus explaining to the crowds that, you know, all of this oath stuff, I'm swearing on a stack of Bibles, I'm swearing on my mother's grave, I'm swearing by this or by that, you know. If you're not telling the truth all the time, why would I believe you when you throw those extra things in? If your character and your integrity is so poor that you have to tell me this is the time I'm actually telling the truth. So kids on the playground, right? I promise. I didn't have to do it because I had my fingers crossed. You didn't see it because they were behind my back, you know. I mean, little kids and adults, we find more sophisticated ways maybe. Yeah. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, this was what Big Brother Jesus had said to the crowds. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, he's got something really similar. So here's our text today. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. He doesn't say Jerusalem. He says heaven, earth, anything else. You know, make something up. It doesn't matter. Don't swear like that. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. That's about as straightforward as you can get. We try to find verses in the Bible that we could interpret lots and lots of different ways. And then you can have doctrinal conversations and people can have, well, that's your interpretation. Well, this one, so raise your hand if you've got a different interpretation for it than what it says. Does it mean what it says? The basic point here that James is making, he's made a lot of points before we got to this. He's talking about patience. You know, we need to have the patience of a farmer, the patience of a prophet, the patience of Job. But now he's saying, just, you know, brothers and sisters, we're all in this together. Don't swear by anything. Just speak honestly. Have integrity. Let your word be your bond. Remember when a handshake used to be enough? Maybe it never was. But I remember my dad would make all kinds of deals with people and he'd shake his hand and it's done. And he would follow through on it. I saw that as an example every time. My dad didn't make a promise if he wasn't going to keep it. My mom didn't either. Wait till your father gets home. I knew he was going to hear about it. And it didn't matter how much I tried to rationalize why what I did wasn't so bad. Dad got home and I got appropriate punishment. Or praise. My parents had integrity and they taught me integrity through example, through their life, through their word. Are we doing the same for everybody around us? Do people know when we speak our mind and speak our word that we've told the truth? Or do they have to try to guess? That's hard. All the international squabbling with the UN and whoever else. I mean, it is, all these world leaders try to come find ways to get together. Wouldn't you just love it if every one of them would just speak the truth? They would just say, this is where we stand. You want to be with us? Stand with us. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear so that I can change it later after you've agreed with me. That's not truthful. When you go to buy a car, don't you wish that the salesperson would just tell you, yeah, this car is probably going to break down because it's a really old used car and there's no warranty. So that's on you. I hope you're either a good mechanic or you got enough money to get the repairs done. Might make you think twice before you looked at that car and drove it off the lot. Might help you with your negotiation to say, well, maybe I shouldn't pay quite this much for it then. Or maybe I should get that extended warranty. Oh, but wait, there's some fine print in the extended warranty. Because they're not telling the truth either. It only covers this part on Thursdays. You know, why don't we live in a world where everybody can just be honest with one another? And I talk about, you know, would you like people to be honest with you? Sometimes maybe we don't want to hear the truth. There's times where people speak the truth and all of a sudden people aren't talking to each other anymore because the truth hurt. I didn't want to hear that. And I especially didn't want to hear that from you. That can happen. So how do we speak the truth in love? There's a difference between it's my way or the highway, and will you please join me in this truthful, honest discussion? You can say the same thing in a different way. You can speak the truth in love. There's ways to do that. Now, of course, there's the saying that my parents said, one of the things they taught me was, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Most of you have learned that too then, right? And James kind of talked about that earlier, didn't he? We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Sometimes I don't have anything good to say. Well, then I better shut up. And I better listen because somebody else might be able to train me and teach me. And if I listen properly, I might be able to grow and learn. but they said something hurtful. I'm not going to talk to them again, and I'll never listen to them. How quickly do we go there? Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Condemned by who or by what? Well, condemned by your oath, condemned by your word. You make a promise you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, and then something comes up and you can't make it. James kind of explained to us a little bit earlier back in chapter 4 how we could deal with that too. Lord willing, in the creek don't rise. He says, you shouldn't be saying, I'm going to plan to do this and this and this, and I'm going to make a lot of money and everything's going to work out. You can say, if the Lord wills. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That's back in verse 15 of chapter 4. You know, James has given some really excellent advice. I've loved this time I've had in James. We started in June of 2017. And we might finish in June of 2018. I don't know. Lord willing, we might. There's still a whole lot of depth here about prayer as we're going to continue on the next few weeks. If we don't know how to be honest, it's going to break and affect our prayer life as well. Because if we're dishonest with ourselves and with others, if we're making oaths that we can't keep, then it's kind of hard to approach the throne and say, Lord, I'm at your mercy. I'm here. Please, God, change my heart. Change me. Love me. I don't want him to do that if I'm trying to hide from him. Conversation with God is going to require integrity with ourselves, inner integrity, willingness to be truthful in the way we live, the way we act, the things we do, and the things we say. Scripture says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're speaking lies, Jesus met some religious people that were speaking lies, and he pointed out to them that, yeah, you're like your father, the devil. He's a liar. I mean, that's his character, and you're being like him. He must be your dad. Whoops. How do we live a life of integrity? The only way to do that is through Jesus' strength. He's loved us and he's taught us how to love. And in that, he's saying, now, because I love you, because I've covered all your sins, nothing terrible can happen to you, even if you die. And by the way, disciples, a lot of you are going to die. That's not a bad thing, because you get to spend eternity with me. Dad's making a room for you in our house. He's fixing it up. We're going to have a great, fun time at a banquet, and then it's going to go on and on and on forever. And if you have that assurance, if you have that relationship with Jesus, then you can live a life of truthfulness. You can live a life of integrity. The truth won't hurt you so badly. I'm not saying that here on earth people won't be angry about it. They killed Jesus. Never told a lie. They killed a lot of the apostles for their good works. Most of us have not suffered for our good works. And part of good works is just being truthful, being honest, having integrity, speaking the truth, hopefully in love. And the opposite is, otherwise you will be condemned. Well, it's like, okay, but if you're just truthful and honest all the time, and God's on your heart and your head and your mind, and he's working through you, instead of having condemnation, we're going to have acceptance in the Beloved. We're going to have life everlasting. I like that a lot better than condemnation. I don't like doing things that later on I look back and say, I don't even like myself. I'm angry with myself because whatever. We condemn ourselves. You ever had those loops going through your head that you can't turn off? Jesus can turn them off. We can turn to Him and we can just love Him and thank Him for loving us before we loved Him. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. We're grateful that we have the opportunity to be with Your people on this special day, and I pray that we can celebrate this moment by, throughout this week, being truthful and loving to everyone we meet. Help us go deeper with You, God, to know You more, to love You more, and to demonstrate Your love to others. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. There's a closing hymn, and then I'll make sure the kids know we're done. Does anybody know how to play this on the piano? I have happily set aside. You play piano, Ramon?
No.
You don't? When are you going to learn?
That's a good question.